Chapter 18. The promises to Israel, preaching the gospel in Egypt. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Exodus 4, verses 29 through 31. But they were not yet ready to leave Egypt. They were as yet but stony ground hearers of the word. They received it with joy at the first, but as soon as persecution arose, they became offended. They could have left Egypt without any hindrance, or could have had an easy passage to the promised land, they doubtless would not have murmured. But we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Acts 14, verse 22. And those who do enter in must learn to rejoice even in tribulation. This lesson the Israelites had yet to learn. The message to Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go," of which we shall speak more particularly later on, resulted in a still more grievous oppression of the Israelites. This was really a necessity for them. First, that they might be the more anxious to leave, and afterward have less desire to return. And second, that they might see the power of God. The plagues that afterward came upon the land of Egypt were as necessary to teach the Israelites the power of God, that they might be willing to go as they were for the Egyptians, that they might be willing to let them go. The Israelites needed to learn that it was not by any human power that they were delivered, but that it was wholly the work of the Lord. They needed to learn to trust themselves completely to His care and guidance. And as whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope, Romans 15, verse 4, we should learn the same lesson as we read the story. It is not at all to be wondered at that the people complained at the first when persecution increased as the result of the message brought by Moses. Moses himself seems to have been perplexed by it, and went to ask the Lord about it. Then the Lord said unto Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land." And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, "I am Jehovah, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am Jehovah, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am Jehovah your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an inheritance. I am Jehovah. Exodus 6, verses 1 through 8, the RV. The Gospel of Deliverance. We have learned that when God made the promise to Abraham, he preached the gospel to him. It necessarily follows, therefore, that when he went to fulfill the promise to his seed, the same gospel was preached to them as a preparation for its fulfillment. This was the case. We learn from the epistle to the Hebrews that the gospel, which is now preached to us, is the same that was then preached to them. And in the above scripture, we find it. Note the following points. Number one, God said of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. Number two, then he added, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Number three, when the Lord says he remembers a certain thing, he does not imply that that thing has ever passed from his mind, for that is impossible. Nothing can ever escape him. But, as we find in various instances, he indicates that he is about to perform that thing. Thus, in the final judgment of Babylon, it is said, God hath remembered her iniquities. Revelation 18, verse 5. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Revelation 16, 19. God remembered Noah, and caused the flood to cease. But we know that not for one moment, while Noah was in the ark, was he forgotten. For not even a sparrow is forgotten. See also Genesis 19, verse 29, chapter 30, verse 22, and 1 Samuel 1, verse 19, for the use of the word remember, in the sense of being about to fulfill the thing promised. Number four. It is evident, therefore, from the sixth of Exodus, that the Lord was about to fulfill the promise to Abraham and his seed. But, as Abraham was dead, that could be done only by the resurrection. The time of the promise which God had sworn to Abraham was very near. But this is evidence that the gospel was being preached, since only the gospel of the kingdom prepares for the end. Number five. God was making himself known to the people, but it is only in the gospel that God is made known. The things which reveal the power of God make known his divinity. Number six, God said, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Compare this with the promise of the new covenant. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34. There is no controversy, but that this is the proclamation of the gospel. But it is the very same thing that was proclaimed to the Israelites in Egypt. Number seven. But the fact that the deliverance of the children of Israel was such a deliverance as could be effected only through the preaching of the gospel is evidence that it was no ordinary deliverance from physical bondage to a temporal inheritance. A most wonderful prospect was opened before the children of Israel if they had but known the day of their visitation and had continued faithful. Preaching to Pharaoh. It is a truth that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Acts 10, verses 34 and 35. This is not a new truth in the days of Peter, but has ever been true, for God is always the same. The fact that men have usually been too slow to perceive it makes no difference with the fact. Men may fail to recognize the power of God, but that does not make him any the less powerful. So the fact that the great mass of God's professed followers have usually failed to recognize that he is no respecter of persons and is perfectly impartial, but have supposed that he loved them to the exclusion of other people, has not narrowed his character. The promise was to Abraham and his seed. But the promise and the blessing came to Abraham before he was circumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. Romans 4, verse 11. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3, verses 28 and 29. Therefore, the promise embraced even the Egyptians as well as the Israelites, provided they believed. And it did not embrace unbelieving Israelites any more than it did unbelieving Egyptians. Abraham is the father of those who are circumcised, but only of those who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. If the uncircumcision kept the righteousness of the law, their uncircumcision is counted for circumcision. See Romans 2, verses 25 through 29. It should not be forgotten that God did not begin at once to send the plagues upon Pharaoh and his people. He did not propose to deliver the Israelites by killing their oppressors, but rather by converting them. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. He will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. All men are God's creatures and his children, and his great heart of love embraces them all without respect to race or nationality. Accordingly, at the first, the simple demand was made upon Pharaoh to let God's people go free. But he impudently and haughtily replied, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Exodus 5, verse 2. Then miracles were wrought before him. These were not at the first judgments, but simply manifestations of God's power. But the magicians of Pharaoh, the servants of Satan, counterfeited these miracles, and Pharaoh's heart was still harder than before. Yet the careful reader will see that even in the miracles that were counterfeited by the magicians, the superior power of the Lord was manifested. The next article in the series of studies on the everlasting gospel will deal with that much talked of question of how Pharaoh's heart was hardened. The Present Truth, September 3rd, 1896.